If you would remain standing and find your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. That's page 12 in your pew Bible. The first few verses there in Genesis chapter 18 is a story of an episode that occurred during the life of Abraham. Give attention now to the narrative of the Word of God. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. The Word of the Lord. You may be seated. Hold your finger there in your text as you are seated, because I will refer to it several times. And you may need to look and see if what I say is actually there. It is my privilege to be bringing this communion devotional to you this morning. Our speaker, who will speak at the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock service, opted to do those 2 hours since he was arriving quite late. And so I am filling in for him this morning in this hour. And it's my privilege to do so. This particular episode is part of the story of the great patriarch Abraham. Abraham was about 99 years old when this happened. And he was living in the community of Hebron, under the oaks of Mamre, a very well-known and famous grove, as there were several groves of oak trees that had special significance in that ancient land of Palestine. He had built an altar there, as he had at Shechem and Bethel and other places. In fact, if you want to trace the story of Abraham, it's quite simple. Just recall some of your 9th or 10th grade geography, where you learned about the Fertile Crescent of the ancient Near East. Abraham started at the Ur of the Chaldees, which is in the modern country of Kuwait, at the very mouth of the Euphrates River, where it flows into the Persian Gulf. God called him at age 75 from the Ur of the Chaldees, and for the next 100 years, Abraham had a sojourn with God. His sojourn was physical, in that he traveled up the Euphrates Valley, all the way across northern Syria, all the way through Palestine, down the land of Canaan, as it was called then, and into Egypt. He literally traversed from the Euphrates to the Nile. This was the portion of land that God said he would ultimately give Abraham. But Abraham did not receive this piece of geography. During the days of his sojourn, he came out of Egypt, went back into Canaan, and in Canaan he moved around and sojourned with the Lord. And all of these different things happened to him. God called him. God made a covenant with him. And you're familiar with the life of Abraham. This particular little episode is a vignette of ancient Near Eastern hospitality. And taken by itself, it is a delightful little story. Abraham is sitting at the door of his tent one day, Three men appear. Abraham greets them. He invites them in for some rest and refreshment. He washes their feet. He gives them a morsel to eat. And then when he realizes that his hospitality is being accepted, that he has found favor in their sight, he invites them to a more elaborate dinner later that evening. He runs into the kitchen to tell Sarah to bake some cakes. Now, ladies, don't get too upset about this. Sarah had plenty of help in the kitchen. She had handmaidens and servants. So this order on short notice is not as dire as it may appear at first blush. And then he goes into the fields and selects from the herd a choice calf, gives it to one of his servants, and instructs the servant to prepare the calf. When all of this is ready, Abraham serves the meal. And then he stands by as the host as they eat. A simple story of hospitality. A beautiful story, really, and a lot of vivid imagery. But what does it mean? What is the significance of the story? Is there more than meets the eye at first reading? I would like to suggest that there is. This particular story is full of vivid imagery, shadows, types, foreshadows, and foretastes of so many wonderful things that have to do with the gospel and Christ. In fact, Christ and the gospel are preached, proclaimed, placarded forth in the Old Testament in terms of these types and shadows and foretastes and glimpses. And here in this passage, I think we'll find a few. Martin Luther says that Christ is everywhere in the Old Testament. If so, is Christ here? Where is Christ here? Where is the gospel here? Is the supper of the Lord, which we will partake in a few moments, is it here? Is this a foreshadowing of the supper? Where is Christ in this passage? It's not difficult to find. Verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham. That's the thesis of the whole passage. This whole passage is the appearance of the Lord. In fact, the Lord is not only appearing to Abraham here, but He will remain to talk to Abraham. And in His remaining to talk to Abraham, He will tell Abraham two things. He will give him a gospel message, and then He will give him a warning of judgment. In the gospel message, the Lord will tell Abraham that in about a year, Sarah will have a child. And that child, of course, will be Isaac. And in Isaac, the seed would be called. Earlier, the Lord had made a covenant with Abraham and promised him that he would have, in fact, a seed. And the Scripture says that when the Lord preached to Abraham about that seed that he would have, the Lord was preaching to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the seed was mentioned, Christ was proclaimed. And Abraham heard the gospel message, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham was saved the same way you and I are saved, by grace, through faith in Christ. God over and over preached the gospel in the Old Testament. And here is an occasion where He preached it once again to Abraham, reminding him, even though several years had passed since the covenant that had been cut between the two, that the fulfillment was imminent and on its way. In fact, in a year, the Lord would visit and Isaac would come. The other message that the Lord would preach later on this same visit was a message of warning, a dire warning about Sodom, a sober warning to Abraham of the effects of sin. No greater example in the Old Testament than the sin of Sodom. And yet the Lord warns Abraham and tells Abraham what has happened and what to expect. And you know the rest of the story there. We know that these three men that appear, one of them was the pre-incarnate Christ. Christ Himself appearing before His incarnation in Bethlehem. He appears here in Hebron to Abraham. And it's unmistakable that Abraham eventually realizes with whom he is visiting. And they have the dialogues that they need. The other two men were angels. We know that because toward the end of this story, they'll move on down to Sodom. And so the three men we see are the pre-incarnate Christ and two angels. Let us quickly observe Christ as He is foreshadowed in this story. The first place I see Him here is in the door of the tent. It is at the door that God meets His people. Years later, when Moses would come to have his communion with God, face to face, we are told, it would be time and time again, God would meet with Moses at the door of the tent of meeting. It is finally in the incarnation of Christ when He takes upon Himself a tent, a tabernacle, a robe of flesh, and tabernacles among us. And even Christ will say, in no uncertain terms, I am the door. We meet Christ at the place where He appears, and that is at the door. We see Abraham in this passage running to meet the strangers. He bows before Christ. In fact, he bows low before Christ. This is not the embrace that you would expect. In the ancient Near East, the embrace was that when men would greet one another, they would put their hands upon the shoulder and they would touch cheeks on either side. And that was the typical embrace. But Abraham did not do that. He bowed low before his Lord, recognizing not only that his Lord was his Savior, but his Lord was his Master as well. When Christ comes to a person, that is what must be acknowledged. Christ is both Lord and Savior. There are a few glimpses of Christ here too. There's a little glimpse of Christ in the washing of the feet, don't you think? Later on, Jesus will Himself wash His disciples' feet and show them that this is the way of humble service to the Lord. There's a little glimpse of Christ in the resting. The text says they rested from the heat of the day under the tree. Christ is the Sabbath rest. It is when we come to Christ that we find that we rest from all of our labors and we wholly wait and trust and depend upon Him for our salvation. Ultimately, the Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ entirely. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the very rest of His people. There's a little glimpse of Christ in the morsel. He gave them a little morsel of bread because this was the heat of the day. They were sojourners. They were tired. He gave them a little bit of food. And then told them that if this was all right, if they would like to stay, He would have a more lavish meal for them later on. In the morsel, there is an anticipation. Just like the manna in the wilderness anticipated the coming of Christ, the very bread of life, there is more to follow. There is a lavish banquet coming up. And the morsel is what you so often get in the Bible, a foretaste of glory divine. Those are little glimpses. Here's some clear vision. That flower that Sarah took to make those cakes In your text, it says fine flour. But what it was the high quality grain that she took to make the flour, to make the loaves. That's the same grain that is used in the Old Testament to be the wave offering before the Lord in the tabernacle sacrificial system. The grain offering before the Lord. That fine flour was the very best. It was the first fruits of the field. And it is Christ. For from that we find the clear picture of the bread of life, the finest grain, the first fruits of the field, and that which enriches, sustains, and rewards. These loaves that Sarah baked were for the breaking of the bread, a foreshadowing of the breaking of the body of the very bread of life Himself. And that calf, that little calf, it says in our text, was fine. It was a choice calf. It was young and tender. That little calf was the firstling of the flock. Young, probably not even a year old. Tender, without spot, without blemish. That little calf represented as a foretaste and a glimpse of those many hundreds and thousands of bullocks that would be laid upon the altar and slain, and the blood would pour forth. Our text says that the servant prepared the calf. Oh, that's brief and euphemistic, but the first step in preparing that calf was the slashing of the throat and the spilling of the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And God over and over and over taught in the sacrificial system, as bullock after bullock after bullock was slain upon those altars, that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we know that the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. But that one sacrifice by Christ, pouring out His blood upon the cross, does not merely cover, but removes the sin of all of His people. I see Christ in the lavish meal. It says in our text that He set before them a meal. And we know it was a lavish meal because He mentions milk and curds. The curds are the cheeses and the butter. It's the fat of the milk. Whenever God wants to talk about blessing and abundance and all of the wonderful things that He pours out upon His people, and that He speaks of the milk. Cana was a land of milk and honey flowing. And so the imagery here is very particular of the lavish meal that is to follow. The meat of the slain lamb, of the slain calf. The loaves that were baked with the fine flour, the rich milk, the butter, the cheese, the fat, the blessing, is but a glimpse of a greater meal. First, all the sacrificial meals of the covenant. When God met with His elders on the Mount Sinai with Moses, and there they shared a covenant meal together. All the way through to the time when Christ sat with His disciples at the Passover and did institute what we called the Lord's Supper, all the way through to the very next day when His blood was actually shed and His body was actually riven. But on that occasion, Jesus says something kind of interesting. He says, I won't drink of this. I won't eat of this meal anymore until I eat it in the kingdom. There is a lavish meal. It's a morsel now. A little crust of bread, a little sip of wine, signifying that Christ has made it all possible by His death. But it'll be a lavish meal then. The Scriptures teach us that there will be a full portion at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great end time feast, the time when God has all of His people, when it's all wrapped up, and when the Lamb is not served, but where the Lamb is the light of His people for all eternity. A glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of the life hereafter. Now, St. Paul says that these Old Testament saints and their experiences were given for our example. What exemplary things can we see in this story of Abraham? Can you find a few? Just look at the text for a moment. What experience did Abraham have that is directly applicable to us? Things that we must pay attention. Let me suggest a few. In the story, Abraham lifted his eyes to see the Christ. And this we must do. You must lift your eyes to see the Christ. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Have you lifted your eyes to Christ? Have you seen Him high and lifted up? Not only elevated upon a cross, dying for you, but in His power, raised from a tomb to give you new life. Exalted in heaven, soon returning to receive you unto Himself. Your eyes must be lifted to Christ. Lifted to Christ. Abraham, in this passage, ran to Christ. You must run to Christ for salvation. Abraham, in our passage, bowed to Christ. You must bow to Christ as the Lord of your life. Abraham, in this passage, served Christ. At the beginning of the passage, we find him sitting. At the end of the passage, standing. What made him change his posture? Service to his Lord. He was not just sitting and being served by all of his servants, but now he was standing, serving his Lord. That's what we see at the very end of the passage. He is standing there as the host, ready to serve, ready to wait upon the Lord, ready to do the Lord's bidding and to go where He sends and to do what He asks. We must go beyond salvation, lordship, but we must go to service in our Christian life if we are to be the kind of people that the Lord calls us to be. Are you ready? Are you waiting on Christ? Abraham tasted the living bread. He lived by the shed blood. And at the very end of the passage, it says that Abraham stood under the tree. Is that where you're standing today? Are you under the tree? Under the cross of Christ? In this passage, it was interesting that Abraham said, if you have found favor, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Finding favor in the sight of God is grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Finding favor is when you realize that God has come to you in unmerited favor and grace and is going to bestow upon you that which you did not earn. And that's what we have in our salvation. And so the plea must be, even though the grace of God comes to us freely, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, we must still have a plea in our heart, a broken spirit, a humble and contrite heart that says, do not pass by your servant. While on others thou art calling, Lord, do not pass me by. As we mentioned, Abraham met Christ at the door. Christ says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. I will have supper with him and he with me.